He started back in like 2008 or something like that. So he'd kind of been with us through thick and thin. And I don't know. That's one thing I've never dealt with as an employee that unexpectedly passed away. We've had an employee out this year for extreme cancer. I kind of was helping him out a little bit, and things got, you know, a little too tough or whatever. So it's just been an interesting year. 2020, I remember when the year started, and I was like, this is going to be an interesting year because the numbers, I'm a big number guy, and math is the language of God. And I believe that 2020 was going to be and is proving to be a year where we are getting crystal clear view and vision of the world. Right now, we've got so much blaring at us, so much in our face, screaming at us, that it's not only overwhelming, I think it's important to understand that one of the tactics of the left, and it's really sad because the socialists, Marxists, have developed this over the years. One of their major tactics is diversion. They have so much noise that they get you looking the wrong direction. They get you paying attention to things that are getting you to look away. And it's an awful lot like a bird. I don't know, you've probably noticed when you get near a baby bird, or well, you don't even have to know you're near it. The mama bird will go up in a tree and just start squawking and squawking. Or they'll even get worse where they jump around on the ground and drag their wing like they have a broken wing. And they're trying to get the predator away from the prey, which is their babies. And there's a lot of things that we are finding out for the left is their babies. And there's a lot of corruption and collusion and the anger and the vitriol. And I think it took them a while after Hillary lost to figure out why she was so ticked off. Remember, everybody was like, get over it. You lost. Get over it. She couldn't get over it. She just kept carrying on and carrying on and making these comments about Trump being so corrupt and colluding. And, you know, I don't even know what to do anymore because I do the show. So I try to like keep myself a little bit abreast of what's going on out there. And it is just so negative and so bad and so destructive. And I was listening to Sean Hannity's radio today, and he has this this black liberal lady on. And I mean, there is absolutely no truth, no rationalization, no harmonization, no agreement. You know, and then they do the spin, spin, spin. They can't answer a question straight. And then they throw stuff out that, I mean, folks, I guess I'm biased. Huh. And if you listen to the radio show, I know. I just let you in on a little secret. I'm biased. Like, I know I've hit it really well over the years, but I finally just let it slide. But although I'm biased, I like to think that I crave justice. I crave truth. I try to see reality for what it is. And I do, you know, it's kind of the Joseph Goebbels thing, I think, with the left. If you tell a lie long enough, the people will believe it. The bigger the lie, the easier they'll believe it. You sit and we repeat those mantras, but when we really think about it, why are we like that? Or how about none of us is as dumb as all of us? I was standing in line you know, at a grocery store this weekend with a guy, you know, and he had his mask on, and, you know, I get mask shamed. Folks, there is so much evidence out there. Masks don't work. If you read on the side of the N95 mask box, that's the ones they want you to wear. It says right on the side, N95 masks are not effective in preventing the spread of COVID-19 or coronavirus. It says right on the box, but that doesn't matter. We want to be hysterical. We want to have hysteria. And again, I'm biased, okay? Trump's in office. He's a conservative. And folks, you know what? It is gang warfare. And here's why. Donald Trump was a Democrat forever. Donald Trump donated tons and tons of money to the Democrats forever. Donald Trump is what they call a New York Democrat, okay, which was a well-to-do, wealthy person's way of fitting in. It was politically expedient. There was a day that Donald Trump hypothetically claimed to have been okay with abortion and whatnot. Through a very, you know, a variety of circumstances, he said he later changed that. He became a conservative, fiscally conservative. And then, you know, ethically and morally conservative. And so there was a time, if he ran as a Democrat, they'd love him. If he'd have ran as a Democrat this time, they'd have loved him. But it's just because he ran as a Republican that they hate his guts. And the accusations that fly, I mean, I'm telling you, I have said for years and years and years, the left in general, it's socialism. And you say, well, you can't just pigeonhole people like that. Well, the Socialist Party has their protocols. Marxism has its protocols. Saul Alinsky has his rules for radicals. And it's like, be ruthless. Never let up. You know, what do they say? Personalize, polarize, and pulverize. The enemy. They have us, Saul Alinsky, who dedicated his book. And when you hear me say this, you might be like, who's that? Who cares? That guy orchestrated the protest, the rebellion from the 60s. He's a sick man. If you watch him talk on old videos from the 60s, he looks like Aleister Crowley, I think was the guy's name, who wrote the Satanic Bible. I may have that wrong, or Aleister Krauss or whatever. My apologies, I don't know the author of the Satanic Bible's name. However, they just look alike, talk alike, and act alike. And then Alinsky, like I said, he dedicates his book to Lucifer. And he says he was the great one, you know, that led the charge and led the cause. And he was the first great rebel. And, you know, we've been lied to and told that he was the bad one, but he was the good one. And, you know, and this is the mentality that we've got permeating the United States of America. Red, white, and blue flag flying in the breeze. You know, that is a symbol of pride, a symbol of glory, a symbol of God, a symbol of goodness, a symbol of the most perfect union of states and people in the history of the world. But now, they just keep accelerating the division and the separation. And now they have us where we have no ability to fight back. Technically, we're being overrun by facets of our government that are tyrannical, which is why the Second Amendment was made. And I'm not saying go shoot people. Not at all. The trigger that you got to pull is the trigger of the voting booth. You got to get in there and vote. I know it does, you know, you don't like this, you don't like that. despite talking on the show, I still get so many people that say, well, I just can't vote for any of them. And I get people coming in here. We do a lot of business right now. Oh, my gosh. We get them on both sides. And I'm telling you, I had a lady flip a cork on me on Friday and leave angry because I wasn't wearing a mask in my shop. And, I said, well, here, let me get you some flyers and some data. I don't want it. I said, well, here, just, you know, I said, it's good information. It's based on medical journal articles. She looked at me. I don't know if she knew what I meant. And I said, look, I am really persuaded a lot more by facts and data than hype and rhetoric. And she said, so am I, and then stormed out. And I'm like, the foolishness and the fact that there's just every medical journal article for 20, well, more. I have a list of 24 that masks don't work. It's a scam. And now, folks, I want you to watch people when they're wearing their masks. Touching their face, constantly adjusting their mask, touching everything in their cart at the shopping store, touching the conveyor belt, touching the gum and the touching the stuff on the shelf, and back to their mouth, back to their mask, back to their mask. Folks, it's a scandal. It's a big scandal. You know, and people are outside. Oh, I better put my mask on. I'm going inside. And it's just this big nuisance. But you know what? They're winning. No one can stand up. I know deep down, Trump probably has a pretty good idea that this is a hoax too. But do I believe that there might be a really nasty strain of corona out there? Yeah, I do. I think that it's genetically modified. I have discussed the fact that 2012, good old Bill Gates got the patent on all genomic sequencing. In other words, genetic manipulation or genetic modification of this virus. Why would Obama grant that to Mr. Richie Rich Bill Gates? You know, I suppose, giving him the benefit of the doubt, that they thought, well, maybe they can find a way to create a vaccine, or maybe they can find a way to eradicate it. That's the benefit. But did you know, in 2016... Fauci claimed that Trump would face a massive pandemic in his first term. Isn't that interesting? He quoted it that he predicted it. And like I said, one thing you got to be sure of, folks, when you check anything on the web, realize Google controls everything. Snopes is a scandal. I mean, these things are put out. You know, the Brookings Institute owns Snopes and other stuff. Now we're finding out that the Brookings Institute is owned by Clinton and Biden, the Clintons and the Bidens. And they're absolutely filling us with lies. Somebody has got to get that information out there, or somebody's got to get a new search method for the internet. Google has it cornered. I mean, they are so in depth into monitoring and measuring and weighing and controlling. They took Breitbart News, conservative news, and have pushed them down to where they have lost like 99.9% of their internet hits. Because they're conservative and they're not mainstream. I mean, is this right? And why? My question is this. Why? I don't understand the human mind, why they think it's okay to block out the truth, to block out the opposition. That's one thing I've really been stumped with over the years, is I've watched these lefties debate, if you want to call it that, argue on conservative talk shows or whatever, which a lot of times I get tired of them having him on there because it's just annoying. It's just agitating. It just irritates, you know. But they, oh, you know, fair and balanced on Fox. Fox is not fair and balanced. Fox is far to the left. You get like Shannon Bream, who's real cute, about as cute as they get, sweetest voice on earth, and she can ask the nastiest questions and get away with it. She'll be like, oh, you know, well, you know, she'll have someone on that's on the right or left or whatever. I think she leans left because she's pretty rough. And she'll be like, well, that's an interesting point. Now she'll say, you know, Senator so-and-so, I want to read a quote from Senator so-and-so and get your comment on it. And she'll be like, Senator so-and-so said, you're a no good, rotten, lying, untrustworthy pile of dog doo-doo. And you know, you're on and on and on. She'll go and say, and so what do you think about that? You know, and it's like, come on. That's not a question. That is antagonism. What has happened to journalism? There is, you know, the historical, the journalistic ethics. I was reading the other night that our founders approved or put in the Constitution to protect. You know, it's basically absolutely magnificent, frankly, when you read it. When you read their ethics, it's unbelievable. They have, I don't have it in front of me here, but it's just, it's all about being fair and unbiased and being a conduit of information and an innocent bystander and not taking sides and actually putting out there stuff that is just the most objective perspective possible, never injecting their own opinion. And that has gone so far by the wayside that it's full throttle communist propaganda. And when you put the First Amendment in order to protect that, which is the right of a free press, okay, and why did they do that? Because corrupt nations and powerful tyrannical kings control the media. The media has been around forever. You know, our founders wrote this stuff in the late 1700s. They knew the impact of a corrupt media. But think about it. Their idea was a free press, based on a journalistic, you know, a list of journalistic ethics that was to never be breached. Now, the press, is it really free? That is, you know, here's just one example. This is probably not, it's not the one from then, but it's Society of Professional Journalists. And what they have here, you know, members of the Society of Professional Journalists believe the public enlightenment is the form, blah, blah, blah. I won't get into that. Ethical journalism strives to ensure the free exchange of information that is accurate, fair, and thorough. An ethical journalist acts with integrity, okay? And then it goes on. Ethical, it says, seek truth and report it. This is from the Society of Professional Journalists. Ethical journalism should be accurate and fair. Journalists should be honest and courageous in gathering, reporting, and interpreting information. They're not courageous when they're just touting their peers' mantra. That's not courage. It's cowardice, okay? They want to fit in. They want to be popular, or they want ratings. And then they work for a certain journalistic organization like CNN. They have a top-down command of what they will report on how they'll report it and so on and so forth. And they all share in that same unethical view of, in this case, you know, kill the president, destroy conservatives, you know, people who believe in the Bible. I was talking to a doctor last week on a situation with the videos Donald Trump Jr. had on Twitter that got pulled down, and then they pulled him off. I mean, before that stuff went up, you don't think Donald Trump Jr. used his head and said, is this 100% accurate or not? Well, I was talking to a doctor about it, and he goes, well, that lady, she's wacko. He said, she's a religious freak. I'm like, okay. What about the information? Well, you can't trust her because she's a religious freak. That is really bad, folks. I mean, again, the same amendment we're talking about. Freedom of speech and the ability to honor and respect people's freedom of speech. Who cares what their beliefs are? There are so many layers that go into this. Listening skills, the ability to adapt, the ability to hear the message without attacking the messenger, the ability to empathize. You know, there's active listening where you're trying to actively listen. Hey, how about that? You know, where you actually want to hear what they have to say. That is a concept that we've now crushed. We crush people. I mean, I'm not a Facebooker, but, you know, you've got Mark Zuckerberg shutting people down. This stuff is really, folks, I want you to understand, this isn't just Kevin on the radio harping. This stuff is it. Nothing quite like this has ever happened. We have had some strong socialistic waves of, like, FDR, where he controlled the radio with his weekly fireside chats. Nobody else could get on the radio. Everybody that had any power was Roosevelt's buddy. Those that controlled the radio, he had them in his back pocket. He created tax laws with the high tax bracket at 96%. Yes, that's true. 96% income tax over a certain income. And so he used that as leverage over all these rich people that own newspapers and stuff that were getting special exceptions on their income, that he could pull that at any time and essentially bankrupt them. But he also FDR pushed through the Fairness Doctrine, which is exactly not fair. It's kind of like, it was basically saying that nobody can have a one-sided radio station. But what it really meant, the left could. The left was able to keep people on the air, and their counterpoint could be whoever they wanted. The right, on the other hand, had to have the government provide their antagonism. In other words, they had to have 50% of the airtime had to be dedicated to the opposite point of view. So it ultimately destroyed it. That's where in the 30s and 40s, and it went into a lot of the comedic radio, where people would no longer be so biased. And if you think about it, that served a better purpose than what we have today. Because they finally just got to the point where they're like, you know, we're not even going to go down the political road. We're not even going to cover that stuff. We're just going to avoid it. Let everyone else figure it out on their own. We'll try to, you know, just be entertaining and bring them in. And I'm not saying the Fairness Doctrine was good, but that was the outcome of it. But at the same time, you're unable to get the truth that wasn't pre-filtered by our government, which is another, you know, serious concern. And what's going on right now with our free press, if you will, is the conduit to the truth. In the Society of Professional Journalists, as I go on, has things like, you know, like I said, has to be accurate and fair, honest and courageous in gathering, reporting, and interpreting information. It says journalists should One, take responsibility for the accuracy of their work. How? By verifying all information before, hey, how about that, releasing it. Using original sources wherever possible. Original sourcing is mandatory, folks, if you want to know the truth. There's one problem. You got Google again. You got Google, and they will abolish the original source. Look at all these videos. Shut them down. That's the original source. Now, you get to read articles or watch news anchors tell you what the video said and tell you what was wrong with it, which I heard, and I'm telling you, what they said about it had nothing to do with it. It was absolute character assassination. If you get into historical information, in order to be reliable, you need to go to the original source. There are, and by the way, if you've ever studied, like, you probably remember in high school writing papers, you had to do these big, long bibliographies of, you know, all the details of where it came from and all that stuff. That's also very critical in finding original source. There are some pieces of data out there from the 1800s where a gentleman was a professor and very good at deceiving people and making up false history about where Christianity came from. He has this whole theory in his head that, you know, it's throughout all of history, all these cultures have had this myth or legend of 12 disciples and a Messiah and dies and comes back to life and all this, he claims. And so therefore, it was just copied and moved on, and the Jews got a hold of it, and some of them turned it into Christianity, and that's totally not true. Where was I going with that? They have four books that came afterwards, chronologically, referring to the book before. And I was reading a guy a while ago that had done a ton of research on this, and he couldn't figure out where this information and data was coming from. Because everything he found, sourced someone earlier. But eventually he got to the bottom. And he realized that the original source of this information was all made up. It was a fictitious lie. And that's, you know, that's why if you're discussing something with someone, and by the way, always remember, do not throw pearls to swine. I had a talk with someone this weekend, a guy, and, you know, he just had that kind of that overconfident in his information look, and kind of we were in a situation that wasn't overly comfortable to discuss it anyway. I ended up kind of bowing out and sliding out of there. But he had this arrogance, and he loved the sound of his voice. You know, Proverbs 18:2, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. And I'll tell you, folks, throughout the years, I've been, you know, able to meet a lot of people one-on-one, face-to-face, that are super famous, or in a lot of cases, you know, rightfully so, and very brilliant. For example, we went to a dinner back in Great Falls, Montana, my hometown, and Dr. Ben Carson was speaking at a fundraiser for a Christian school there, and it's a smaller town, and I bought their gold table, which wasn't cheap, and I think I brought back some relatives and friends, and and so we had a couple hours with Dr. Carson. And most of the people with me after a period of time had had enough. And I kept talking to him. But I'll tell you, when I was talking to the man, I listened. I didn't try to override him or overwhelm him. I listened because the man has it. He's done it and he's got it. Okay? There's a time and a place you zip it and you listen. And I get, you know, and I have tend to communicate fairly, you know, avidly. And I, you know, I talk to people sometimes and get a little heavy that way. But anyway, this gentleman I was talking about, he just was so foolish with the stuff he was spewing out about evolution. Wasn't really evolution. When you talk to people that want to believe in evolution, they have already figured out it's not pro-evolution, it's anti-God. That's really what's at the root of it. But once you figure out you're in that conversation, the only recommendation, I mean, I would not throw pearls to swine, biblical, but also, you know, it's like when, you know, Christ said, do not worry about that time when they carry you up, you know, to the high priest or whatever, or when they, you know, basically want to string you up. The Holy Spirit will speak through you at that time. And just as when Stephen was being executed by the, you know, the Sanhedrin, the Holy Spirit spoke through him. And I think when you're in those situations with somebody, I just pray, let the Holy Spirit speak through me. Well, a lot of times, I got nothing to say. You know, the Holy Spirit's like, here's how you speak. You zip it. Or don't waste your time. The Holy Spirit can see the spiritual battle around us. Folks, this is not a battle against flesh and blood. This is a battle with the spiritual principalities of, you know, of the air, the universe. We've got people that are operated and directed by the dark side, the Clintons and whatnot. And that's how they rule and reign and control. And then when you get someone like Trump coming up there to drain the swamp, they lose their cool bad. And the thing is with something like that, he needs to be covered in prayer. He definitely has a hedge around him. And he's trying to do the right thing. But he's got to be motivated by the Holy Spirit. He's got to be driven by God and protected by him. Because he's got a level of attack on him like no other. When you think about it, there's about, you know, 11 or 12 different spiritual entities that are mentioned in the Bible. So there's, you know, everything from, you know, the sons of God and the, you know, cherubs, and there's all kinds of different spirits that take people over, and, you know, and archangels, and there's all kinds of stuff going on. You got to realize none of them can be in all places at all times. They can only be in one place at one time. Well, throughout history, the reason you see, like in Egypt, when Moses was leaving, so much intense spiritual activity is because the highest of the high, probably Lucifer and his right-hand man, or left hand, because Jesus sits at the right hand of God, but probably, I don't know, but they were centralized right there. When you've got Pharaoh, who thinks he's a god, he's been told, they've been told they're deities. That's why he cast out Moses' first offer, if you will, or threat or request to take his people. Okay, Lucifer's there, or whoever's right below him, and a number of them. You know, they, the sorcerers for the Pharaoh throw down their sticks. They turn to snakes. Of course, Moses does it, and his eats theirs. Okay, so you've got serious spiritual activity going on there. And they can be in one place at one time. Then throughout history, you know, you never know where they're at any given point in time. But you do know throughout history that a lot of, you know, presidential administrations have been pretty low-key, you know, and the devil can go off and do his work, or his right-hand men can do their work elsewhere. This administration, they are all over. It is a spiritual hotbed. Plus, I got Mike Pence in there and a bunch of others that love God. And so there's quite the threat. And so we need to be praying. There is some seriously heavy, heavy stuff going down. And then you got these people with the COVID. And how do they make this thing stick? By manipulating the media. Absolute control. I'll tell you one way how. You've got, remember the H1N1 swine flu virus of 2009? They called it the pandemic of 2009. 61 million cases in America. 20% of the population. And they blamed it on China. And no one cared. 61 million cases. The death rate was, I don't know, 17,000 or something like that. Now we go COVID-19. 4.7 million cases. Remember H1N1? 61 million. COVID-19, 4.7 million. So what, 6%? 6 or 7% of the H1N1 numbers? And what? You can't blame China, you blame Trump. Shut the whole U.S. down and act out in mass hysteria. 2009 was Obama, our, you know, new savior for many. Crazy, man. Nothing said. The death toll I had earlier, I can't remember it, but the death toll from COVID is far lower. And with the H1N1, the death toll was accurate. It had to be a clinical testing, positive, you know, either posthumously or, you know, while still alive. And so that just shows you how out of control we've gotten. This, and people are hysterical. And I'll go back to the mask shaming. People listen to me and then they, you know, and they still go out and you got to wear it in Washington to go anywhere. I mean, it is reckless. Inslee is just out of control. I heard the other day, not that it matters, but it's interesting, that with Inslee's new mandate for this, you know, phase, whatever, that they're getting ID and tracking every single person who buys marijuana in the legalized marijuana stores. Not for age, everyone. Why? And you might think, well, good. No, that is how they creep up on us. It's always for a cause that we're all against, a great moral cause. And then those things get implemented on the rest of us. Once they start that, they won't stop it. And then someone else will do it, and then it'll start to be everywhere you go and everything you do, and your car has a tracking device and your phone has a tracking device. And now we're getting to the point where China's got the red, yellow, green app where you have to have it on your phone or your phone gets shut down. Everywhere you go, you have to show this thing to enter anywhere. Of course, you got your ineffective mask on, but you have to show your red, yellow, or green. So that means if you're walking down the street and they track everybody and who they're exposed to, if you're walking down the street and you stop in a crowd to get on a bus or something, someone there has it, boom. Now you're red. You can't go anywhere or do anything. Take that a step further. What happens when they start to decide conservative Christians are an enemy of the state? Boom. All of a sudden you're red. What'd I do? Where was I? They don't tell you. They're not telling the Chinese people. This is what they're doing. This is how they're doing it. They're implementing this. You got Bill Gates behind it. Bill Gates shows up. Bill Gates and Bill Clinton show up for the last Federal Reserve meeting. I mean, come on, give me a break. What makes him so great? Because he's a multi-billionaire. And he's there touting a cashless system. This whole thing about being out of change, we are being lied to, folks. The Federal Reserve has stadiums, buildings the size of stadiums, with electronic automatically run pallets that are 12 by 12 by 12 feet wrapped with coins packed inside that they've been sweeping from the Fed forever. When the state quarter program started cooling off, there were so many quarters pouring into the banks, they didn't know what to do with them. The Fed took them all back and stored them all up. If you got your state quarter collection you think is going to be worth something someday, give that up now. There's no hope, folks. Every year, they make 5 to 6 of these state quarters, national parks, territories, you name it. They make 5 to 6 a year, 2+ more mint marks, but billions of each mint mark. Billions. So say even 1.5 billion of each mint mark, which is very conservative. That's way low. Way low. And you start to think about that, and you have 3 billion times 6 a year, 18 billion, and you've been doing it now for 20 years. 3.6 trillion quarters. We're not out of quarters, folks. We're not out of quarters, trust me. Actually, I was wrong. That'd be 360 billion. But the point is, that's just quarters from the state quarter program. That's just starting in 99. All the coins that go back to, you know, 65, everything 64 and older is silver, which is a good investment. But all those are out there, too. The numbers are in the trillions of each coin. There's no physical possible way these things are missing. They want to put us in a cashless society. When Gates was at the Fed meeting, his claim was, in order to do positive, he called it, contact tracing, which is a way to follow you everywhere you go. In order to do that, we have to get rid of cash. He said cash ruins everything. He wants everything cashless, everything cashless. Then they know everywhere you've gone and everything you've done. And then all of a sudden, the phase three put down by the federal government for reopening says there cannot be any concerts or sporting events or mass gatherings without a treatment and a treatment for the disease and a vaccine against it. And then people are going to have to prove they've either had it or have the vaccine. They're going to have to prove they're safe. How do they do that? Well, it's simple. You just get a little, you know, they want to include a microchip in the vaccine. Simple enough. Or you get a special card, or you get a new phone that has a special authentication device on it, whatever that is, and you have to show that everywhere you go, and it tracks you down. And then all of a sudden, like I said, they can shut you down. You're red. Oh, no, you cannot buy or sell. And you're like, well, that's not what it says, Kevin. It says that the mark, you know, they take the mark in their right hand or forehead. Now, be John the Apostle John, that wrote the book of Revelation. What did he see? Folks, he's repeating what he saw. He didn't understand it all. How about a retinal scan? How about a fingerprint? Right hand or forehead? Who knows if we get another method of whatever? DNA testing, who knows? Some kind of laser DNA tester like they do for temperature now. And so John's watching it, probably didn't even maybe recognize his cell phone or what he was looking at. And all of a sudden he's seeing them check their eye or their, you know, their forehead. Or their right hand, because he saw people giving their fingerprints. Who knows? But it would be pretty easy to implement at this time. I wouldn't have saw this coming. This COVID thing's a classic. And it's interesting that Obama's behind it with his Organized for Action. And he's a big proponent of the Cloward and Piven strategy that says you break the back of America by destroying the healthcare system. You know, Obamacare has made people's insurance premiums go up by multiples. Our insurance premiums before Obama, we provide insurance for our employees and all that. We provide it for the employee, and then we provide it at 50% of the premium for their employees or for their family members. But the big bulk of it is the primary family member, et cetera. And now all of a sudden those premiums have gone from $350 a month for a family to $1,600 to $1,800 a month. That's what Obama did with Obamacare, which, by the way, is Joe Biden's claim to fame. His one in 47 years in the swamp, that's the only thing he's ever claimed to have accomplished. That guy is an absolute hollow vessel. But he is not the hollow vessel God talks about in the Bible, which is you and I. He's accomplished nothing. He's an absolute epitome of a politician that'll say whatever comes to his mind. So let's rack down on what journalists should do. So we did take responsibility for the accuracy of the work, verify the information before releasing it, use original sources wherever possible. And then the next one, remember that neither speed nor format excuses inaccuracy. So they're like, there is no excuse for inaccuracy. Accuracy only. I mean, folks, please hear this. This is how our founders got us to the First Amendment to protect these people. But they use the word free press. Now we've got attorneys that twist and turn. Free press. Are they truly free? You know what a free press was back then? The reporters were independent contractors getting paid by piecework. They got paid by the story or the job. That's a free press. In a lot of cases, they'd work for multiple employers. Now they're not only salaried employees, but these guys are making gajillions of dollars a year. I mean, not Sean Hannity's conservative, but he makes $52 million a year with Fox. You got Andrew Cuomo at some absurd number like $28 million a year. It's just bizarre. These people are beholden to their master. They're slaves. They have no control. Then it says, so we got neither speed or format excuses inaccuracy. Then it does provide context. Take special care not to misrepresent or oversimplify in promoting, previewing, or summarizing a story. In other words, you don't take the first half of someone's sentence and take it out of context and try to intentionally make them look bad. That's deceptive. That's dishonest. That, my friends, is biblically, according to the Ten Commandments, bearing false witness. That's pretty much what these people do a lot. In the Fourth Amendment, we're supposed to be secure in our persons. Then they have gather, update, and correct information throughout the life of the news story. In other words, just keep changing and adapting for accuracy all the time. Don't pick a storyline and beat it into the ground if it changes. Be cautious when making promises, but keep the promises they make. Not sure I understand that one. I don't have time to understand it right now. Identify sources clearly. Let's see here. Okay, the identify sources clearly. The public is entitled to as much information as possible to judge the reliability and motivation of sources. So you got to lay it out. Who is your source? Why are they doing this? Where do they stand on the deal? Do they have something to lose or gain? Then, it goes on. Identify sources clearly. We just did that. The public's entitled to as much information. Then it goes, consider sources' motives before promising anonymity. Reserve anonymity for sources who may face danger or retribution or other harm and have information that cannot be obtained elsewhere. Explain why anonymity was granted. So if you do an article and someone gets anonymity granted, tell them. Tell the article why. Diligently seek subjects of news coverage to allow them to respond to criticism or allegations of wrongdoing. That's a classic. That doesn't happen anymore. They character assassinate people. They crush them. They don't tell them it's coming. And articles come out that destroy their lives, and then the media will never let them defend themselves or straighten the story out or give their other side. Why would you not want to hear both sides of the story? I think most of us would if we're honest and rational and all that kind of stuff. Avoid undercover or surreptitious methods of gathering information unless traditional open methods will not yield information vital to the public. In other words, let them know you're a reporter when you're reporting. Be vigilant and courageous about holding those with power accountable. Give voice to the voiceless, you know. That's that old thing it says in the Bible that an innocent man, you protect an innocent man. If you're an innocent bystander and you see a guy being hurt or abused or wrongly treated, he can't defend himself. There's authority issues. There's all things going on. You're an innocent bystander. You got nothing to lose. Or, you know, maybe you do. Who cares? It doesn't matter what you have to lose or gain. You go in and you stand up for the voiceless. That applies to all of our lives all the time. Then, it goes on and, support the open and civil exchange of views. How about that? Even views that you find repugnant. How about white supremacy? How about racism? Boy, that's the new hot button. They block people and shut them down and close. And that, this is journalistic editing by Facebook and stuff. If you disagree with their views, who cares? Okay, just view it. Report it. That's what reporting's supposed to do. And there's quite a few more. Recognize a special obligation to serve as watchdogs over public affairs and government. Seek to ensure that the public's business is conducted in the open and that public records are open to all. That is the First Amendment right there. Provide access to source material when it's relevant and appropriate. Again, this is from the Society of Professional Journalists, contrasting against the mess we're in now. Boldly tell the story of diversity and magnitude of the human experience. Seek sources whose voices we seldom hear. Another one, avoid stereotyping. Journalists should examine the ways that their values and experiences can shape their reporting. You need to know your own bias. Label advocacy and commentary. In other words, let people know when something is biased or has an agenda. Next, never deliberately distort facts or context, including visual information, etc. Clearly label illustrations and reenactments. Never withhold information to change the context of a story. And of course, never plagiarize, always attribute. Joe Biden's been busted for plagiarizing so many times we can't even keep up. The guy's terrible. So my point is this, they got all this stuff, minimize harm, act independently, be accountable and transparent, and it goes on. That's ethical journalism. That is what the First Amendment's about. Those days are long gone. What's going on is people using power. FDR started it. The Communist Party started it, really. This is what we're up against now, folks. This is tearing America in half. In thirds. It's tearing us in every direction, okay? And, folks, I want to tell you, we are very, very short-staffed. I have this huge list of people that want to talk to me about investing. I call people. It takes a while. And it just, we're very short-staffed. In the last week, I can't even tell you, I probably got 20 some hours of sleep at the best. I was here through Saturday night trying to keep up. Business is very active and people are like, oh, that's great. Yeah. Well, it's tough. And I'm just saying, if you want to invest, just send the money up. We will take care of you. We've been doing it 25 years. We've done almost $1 billion in volume and we're here to stay. We're good. We don't have commission salespeople. We'll take care of you. If you have specific questions, I understand, but some people just, they're trying to overcomplicate our investment methods with precious metals and stuff. They're just reaching to ask questions, and it's precious metals are made by God to be simple to understand. We build good portfolios. We'll take care of you. If you're thinking of doing it, call. Let us know. We'll put together a sensible, sound portfolio that's balanced, but also allows you to take advantage of the growth in the market, but more so preserving and protecting your wealth and capital. We got over $30 trillion now in deficit. Our unfunded liabilities alone are $858,000 per man, woman, and child. That was a few days ago. We're in debt. The debt's running rampant. We've got a socialist coup coming in. We've got all facets of the deep state or State Department now infiltrated with anti-American people, you know, believers, and we've just got garbage all over the place. Protect yourself. I mean that. The market can look strong. Hyperinflation can make the market look real strong while you're losing your tail. Precious metals are biblically endorsed and authorized beginning to end in numerous ways. Seriously, don't waste your time. Don't second guess and do the I wish I woulda coulda thing. Just do, you know, preserve and protect. You're going to look back on this time and say, wow, stuff was cheap then. So I'm just saying, give us a call, 509-999-444-0044, or, you know, just let us take care of you and build a portfolio. Take care. God bless. Have a great night. Bye.